Amen. Thank you, church. Thank you, board. Again, I know I say it often, but thank you for your prayers. Those matter most. It's pretty incredible what God has done, finishing 7 years, which in Bible numbers is completion, and starting in the year 8, which is new beginnings. And so I think that's pretty interesting as a church, as we're shifting, as we're multiplying, as God is doing things. New things, new places cause us to become new people, right? You can't have the same wine in an old wineskin. And so God's calling all of us to shift and shaking us and calling us up and out of kind of our mediocrity. Some of you, even this week, you're sitting in different seats. Good job. You heard last week what I was saying. I'm so proud of you. For those of you that didn't, that's okay too. We got grace. So it's all good, right? But we are in a series on spiritual warfare. And if you're not experiencing spiritual warfare, I would be shocked because we're just in it all the time. But it's even more sometimes when we seem to like talk about it, it seems like it just happens even more often. If you've missed any of the weeks on the different tools of spiritual warfare, God has given us all that we need to fight the enemy. And again, remember, we fight from a place of victory. The battle is already literally won. Jesus won that for us. We have other fights that we go through, of course, because we're human and we're here in this sinful world. But God has given us everything that we need in order to win. And I just think that's so incredible. Today, we're going to talk a little bit, and I'm going to have some friends that are going to come and help me in a little while, too. There's going to be some testimonies, so it's going to look a little bit different today. But we're going to talk about discipleship as a warfare tool, all right? Maybe you've never thought about how discipleship is part of warfare, how we can utilize that to come against the enemy. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. So let's pray as we get our hearts focused on the word today. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we don't want to do anything outside of what you want us to do, God. Thank you for your presence here today. Jesus, thank you for the worship. Thank you for meeting us. Thank you for answering prayers already. Thank you for what you're doing in people's hearts and souls as they're sitting here or listening online. Jesus, we just recognize you here in this moment. God, thank you for your written word that's living and active and can get into our heart and soul and transform us and help us to be more like you, live more like you. God, as we share today, open our ears, open our eyes. God, challenge us today to live out the Great Commission. Father, you've called us to go and make disciples, but God, we have to first be a disciple. We have to follow you so that we can help others follow you. So challenge us today, no matter how long we've known you, if it's been 5 minutes or 50 years, God, challenge us here today. May we be quick to hear what you're speaking to us in your precious name. Amen. So discipleship, like I said, it's not just a spiritual practice, but it's a spiritual weapon. We often think of discipleship kind of as like a quiet, personal journey, right, that you're on with the Lord. But in the kingdom of God, it's one of the ways we fight the battle. It's how we reclaim ground from the enemy, how we stay rooted in truth, and how we bring others into freedom, okay? Discipleship's all about walking with someone, right? We're either being discipled by Jesus, following him, or we're walking with others, helping them follow Jesus. Amen? Here at Rockside, there are two paths, there are two ways that we are intentionally really trying to help people walk in discipleship, all right? Be disciples, be disciple makers. The first one is this. We have a foundations class, all right, on Sundays, at 9 o'clock, first and third Sundays, learning the basics, learning the foundations of what we believe, what is sin, who are Adam and Eve, what was God's plan, all of the things from Genesis to Revelation, the foundations are so important. And that's not just for new believers. It focuses on new believers or those that have rededicated their life, but it's also for folks that just want to refresh, want to remind themselves of the foundation. So you are welcome to join that at any point. It's at 9 o'clock on Sundays, the first and third. We've got a great team in there that love what they're teaching. Incredible opportunity. So I encourage you, if that's something for you, get involved. Say yes to that. Start growing or regrowing, right? Sometimes we forget things or we just need to be reminded. All right, so that's one of the ways that we're working on creating disciples, all right? The other one is our follow discipleship groups, all right? These are incredible. We've been doing this, a version of it every year. We've shifted it, we've adjusted it. And the reality is, it's important that we are together walking with people as we're learning and we're growing. We cannot do it on our own. We're not meant to be isolated islands. We are literally meant to walk with others, all right? So follow meets at various times, depending on the group, once a month. We use a follow book as a guide. It walks us through some incredible things. We journey together in our relationship with Christ and with one another. And it can be a 6 to 9 month process. Our group is so amazing. Sometimes we haven't been able to meet in person, but we still wanted to get together that month, so we met on Zoom. It wasn't the priority, but the priority was being together, not necessarily always having to meet one-on-one, right? We wanted to be able to check in on one another. I'm so thankful. I watch as those that are in my group, God work in them. They grow and blossom and help each other and encourage one another. When one's down, the other can speak truth in life or pray with one another. That's what it's for, is to help push one another along to know Jesus just a little bit more. We can't do that on our own. Plus, we're meant to be together in groups. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. This is the command from Jesus to make disciples. You guys know this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. All right, this is Jesus giving us the great commission, the whole purpose of why we exist. And I'll tell you, it's the great commission, not the great suggestion. The great commission, that's a command. Jesus has called all of us. If we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are commanded to go and make disciples. Might be at your work, it might be on your block, it might be in your family, it might be with the people that are right next to you. But we are to be walking out discipleship with other people. Jesus doesn't just tell us to preach that from the platform. He says to go and make disciples, people who live like Jesus, hello, people who love like Jesus, people who forgive like Jesus, and follow him closely, following Jesus. We sang about it, his way is better, right? Like, following Jesus is about leaving the world behind, leaving behind everything we want and desire. And we say, okay, I'm leaving. I mean, that's what the disciples did, right? They left their nets, they left everything. They said, world behind me, Jesus ahead, I'm following you, whatever, wherever that goes. And you guys all know where that ultimately goes. Most of them died for him. Discipleship is a warfare tool. So why? Why is it? Because every time a disciple is made, disciple is in process, darkness loses its ground. Hello, isn't that exciting? The enemy's purposes start to get less and less on that person because they're following Jesus and they're growing and the light of his love is getting bigger and bigger and the less of the enemy is getting smaller and smaller, right? John 15, 16 says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. That's God talking to us. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. Fruit that will remain. That's what our lives are for. To produce fruit. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we smile at the cash register. We let somebody go in front of us. However we can witness, however we can be a light and be kind and show love, right? That's what we do. We show up and we bear fruit. Lasting fruit doesn't just mean good works. It means lives that are changed, bondages broken, come on, somebody, and the kingdom pushing forward. Don't you want that, right? For your own life, for your family. And I'll tell you this, this is why it's such a big deal. The enemy hates it. The enemy hates it. He doesn't want to see you healed. He doesn't want to see you forgiving people. He doesn't want to see you free. He wants you bound. He wants you belonging to him. He wants you depressed. He wants you living in anxiety. He wants you fearful. This is what the enemy wants. And he works out life and people and circumstances, right? And they all seem to come and crowd and push us down. Every single one of us could probably share a story from this last season and go, yeah, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. But God's ways are better. His plan is purposeful. He's given us all the tools to defeat the enemy and his little minions. There's some greater power in me, right, than he that is in the world. Come on, right? The enemy hates discipleship. He doesn't want people to grow. He doesn't want people free. He wants them stuck. He wants them chained. And I do believe that's partly why you can look around and at different churches, we seem to struggle for some reason. I don't understand, in the area of discipleship. We can be really good at a lot of things. It's a challenge. I've asked many of my pastor friends in years past as I was praying, like, God, help us. How do we do this well? How do we help people become Christ followers that are reproducing Christ followers? And as I would talk to my pastor friends, they're like, we don't know. Do you have anything you got going? I mean, like, there's this weird thing that keeps that down. And I'll tell you why, because the enemy doesn't want it. Right? He wants us focused on all our smoke and mirrors and big stages and, you know, instead of the hard work of discipleship, right. Which is messy and hard and bloody and painful. Yeah. And it's a journey and a process, which means people fall off and you have to have grace and you got to pick them back up and they fall off again and you got to pick them back up. I mean, yeah. Discipleship is not a pretty bow. Discipleship is how we fight back against the lies, the shame, the fear, and the chaos that the enemy unleashes in our lives. It's a secret weapon, but we can't do it alone. There's power in community. Say that with me. Power in community. Turn with me real quick, because I only have a few more minutes, because I got some friends that are helping me. Turn with me to Mark chapter 2. One of my favorite accounts in the Bible is this story. And some of you are, you know it well. But it just represents why we need community and why community and having a group of people walking with you is so important. Because there's going to come a day in your life that you might not be able to get yourself to Jesus, but you're going to need some people to tear off a roof and get you there. You might need some people to show up your house and say, hey, you're going to be okay. Community is important. We've got to be able to fight for each other and be able to love each other. And I love this. So verse 1 says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, several days later, the news spread quickly, which was always the case with him, that he was back home. So they were like, yay, he'd been out ministering. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room. So just imagine that. Again, these are dirt homes. I mean, it's dusty. Packed room. There was no room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. It was too full. It was too packed. They couldn't even get him there. So instead of just giving up and walking back home, no, they dug a hole. First of all, they had to get to the roof. So however that worked out, carrying the guy on the mat, they got up to the roof. And then dug a hole in the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. That's a powerful picture of discipleship. We've got to love people enough as we're walking with them, no matter what's going on, that we will be able to get them to Jesus no matter what it takes. These friends said, we know he's the answer. and our friend needs to be healed. So what's it going to take? And they said, whatever it takes. And that's what they did. They lowered the man on his mat, seeing their faith. Not the man's faith, the friend's faith. Jesus saw they believed, saw that they knew if they could just get their friend to Jesus, it would change for their friend. The power of discipleship, the power of community. Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man, and he said, stand up. So it had to take some faith, right? Pick up your mat and go home. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what that was like? And the man jumped up. He didn't just get up slowly like, I don't know if this is going to work. No. He got up, jumped up, grabbed his mat, and he walked through the stunned onlookers. Can you imagine the miracle in that day? That's amazing. Yes. Scripture says they were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we have never seen anything like this. Now, this is talking about physical healing, right? But I'll tell you, for our friends and all of us, mental, spiritual, relational, we all need healing. It's not always just physical. So this gives us a literal example of what we need to be doing, how we need to be operating with our friends and those that we love to get them to Jesus. And discipleship is one of those avenues. When we're walking with people, when we love them enough to say, hey, let me walk with you. Let me encourage you. I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything, but we can do it together. Amen? It's so, so important. That is the power of community. That's why you can't do it on your own. That friend couldn't get himself to Jesus. There was nothing he could have done. But the friends knew. They were willing to do whatever it took to tear off that roof to get them to Jesus. You see, when someone can't walk in their faith, you carry them. When someone is paralyzed by fear and doubt, you lift them up in prayer. When someone's stuck outside the house, you tear off the roof. That's been my phrase lately. God, help me to tear off the roof for this person. Help me to tear off the roof in this situation, right? The enemy's not going to win. Jesus didn't just see the paralyzed man's faith. He saw their faith. It was communal. The kingdom of God, faith is communal. It's not just personal. That's why the enemy likes to get you isolated. He likes to get you over here by yourself because then it's all about you and you think, man, the world is so terrible and hard because you know why? It's just you. The enemy likes to do it that way because when you're in a group, you can be encouraged. There's power in multiple, right? So we've got to stand against the enemy by being in community, by being in discipleship. Really quickly, and we're going to do this quickly. Let me look at the time because I've got friends that are helping. Here are seven attributes of a disciple, and this we'll go through this quickly. Number one, discipler follows Jesus. That simple, right? Not just believes in him, but follows him. Obedience is a threat to the enemy. Love it. John 10 says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Number two, a disciple loves Jesus and others. Love is not weakness, it's warfare. It's how we war against the enemy. It disarms the enemy. John 13, 34 and 35 says, just as I have loved you, you should love each other. I love the next part of this. It says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Our love, not our opinions, not our preferences, certainly not our political beliefs, certainly not all the stuff of the world, but our love, our love, our love, our love will prove to the world that we are his. Amen? A disciple bears fruit. Disciples reproduce. They make more disciples. All right. Number four, a disciple lives by the word, the sword of the Spirit, right? He doesn't just read it, but he lives it. He allows the word of God to come and transform your heart and your mind and your soul. Number five, a disciple denies self, which we need the Holy Spirit for that. We need the Lord's help because that's a tough one, right? The world says to live for yourself, do it all for you. You matter. You. Jesus comes from a different point. He says, deny. He says, die, give up, take up your cross. Opposite of what the world is saying. Every time we deny self, listen to this, we defeat pride a little bit more, which was the devil's original sin. Number six, a disciple lives by faith. Faith is trust in action. It moves mountains. It silences fear. May faith rise in you today. And last, a disciple loves the church, Christ's church. The church is not a building. The church is us. We are the church, right? And because of that, the church isn't perfect. Hear me say that. Because we're full of humans who make mistakes. But I'll tell you who is. Jesus, right? The bride of Christ. He's perfect. And that we can trust. And he's the lead. He's the head. Praise the Lord. So a disciple is not somebody that's just rogue out doing their own thing. They are rooted in community. That's why the local church is so important. That's why scripture says, don't forsake the gathering together because we need one another. We need that relationship. We need each other to be able to walk this out. So I have a few friends that are going to come and join me here this morning. So I'd like to invite up Christine Mitchell first, and then she's got some friends that are going to share. Scott and Christine are our discipleship directors here at Rockside. So grateful. The Lord, again, miraculously brought us them a few years ago. So come on up here, Christine. Give a hand. Tell us a little bit about discipleship from your perspective.
So it is everything Pastor Michelle is saying, and it's so encouraging to be able to be in a group with people and share. And growth requires vulnerability. And in these groups, there is a confidentiality. You know, nothing goes beyond the group. But we're able to be open. We're able to pray for each other. We're able to support and say, how did this go? How are you? You know, what's going on? Last Saturday in our group, one of the bigger challenges was, how are we going to replace these thoughts that we have with Scripture? I know it was challenging. It was like, so how are we going to do that throughout the week? And it's just a place of growth and a place of transformation. And doing it in a group, as Pastor Michelle's saying, is helpful because we can't do it alone. And when life gets hard, when we get discouraged, when we get tired, having a group there helps. And as much as the group then comes to an end, there's still that relationship that you've formed with people that you can continue. Yeah. And you've got somebody to walk with you as you're going through hard times or as you want to celebrate something. So that's a bit. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So one of the people that Eileen, one of the things she said is, by going through the follow program, I learned that sharing my faith and being the disciple is very important. I gained more boldness and pray for that every day so that I can talk to people in my circle. And there's a couple other people that wanted to share. Everybody has moved seats. Let me see. Okay, here we go. Do you want me to come to you or you want to come up? You come up?
Come on up, Belinda. Give a hand for Belinda. Here, come over here a little bit so you're on the online part too. There you go. That's good. Right there. That's perfect.
Okay. I wrote a little note about this picking me up. Follow benefits. Number one, a practical way to help grow your faith and strengthen your walk in Christ. So it's got a daily application, a way to build one-on-one relationships with other people in the church. So the, you know, support from one another is very important, and support for each other at each meeting with, we pray for one another's needs.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So good.
Join one.
Yes. Thank you. That's awesome.
Martha's coming up next.
Yeah, and scoot on over here again so that I can be seen. Yep. Yay!
Morning. I just want to share that as I was in a follow group, I knew and loved the Lord. I know him still for 47, almost 47 and a half years now. So when I joined the follow group, it gave me new perspectives on sharing my faith and growing in my own faith for myself. And plus, I met some really neat people. I had some great fellowship, and we care about each other, and we're there for each other. So,
good. Very good. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Scott, if you'll come up and share a little bit. Give a hand clap for Scott, who's discipleship director as well and a board member at this point. So thankful.
Thank you. And so just some thoughts on discipleship. So, and it's related to DNA. So for this church, Rockside Church, what are our three components of our DNA? Discipleship, but that's, you know, prayer. Missions, right? As someone who has DNA in him, right? It says certain things. It gives me my identity.
Yep.
It gives me my potential, right? Well, my finger has the same DNA as my toe, right? They do different things,
yeah.
Same DNA. So if you're part of Rockside Church, Keisha, you and I share the same DNA for Rockside Church,
yes.
Right?
Right, yes.
It's our identity. Our identity is prayer, missions, discipleship. If you call this your home, that's your DNA. It informs your potential. Okay? But, you know, if you look at me, I do not have the DNA to be a linebacker. It's just not going to happen, right? Don't laugh. I'm serious. It hurt. No, it does not, right? I do not have that. But I have other DNA that says, I'm good at this. Mm-hmm. It may be a natural ability, but it doesn't mean I can do it right now. It means I've got to what? Mm-hmm. Study. I've got to practice.
Yeah.
I've got to fail. Yes, I've got to fail at things in order to grow. Well, we're going to have to practice prayer.
Yeah. Yes.
We're going to have to study prayer. We're going to have to study missions. We're going to have to practice it. Some of y'all are going to have to go overseas.
Uh-huh.
You're going to have to join us, right? Mm-hmm. And, but we're all called to be disciples and disciple makers, right? We're going to practice at it. It's not always going to work right.
Right.
We're still learning, and everybody's different. I have the joy of, I think there are three guys that I've been walking through with follow.
Nice.
Each one is different. And so they're each representing a different journey. So again, plug in. Go through discipleship, whether that's foundations, whether it's follow, but also know this. As you go through the process, God is going to call you to become a disciple maker.
Yes. Yep.
That is part of it,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
It's not just so I get a better life. No, it's so that we bring more to him.
That's Amen. Good. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you guys so much. We have one more testimony. So Alicia, if you'll come on up. I've had the privilege of the last few months, actually it's been quite a while, Ariam and Felicia have been in our group. So just tell everybody, what has being in the Follow group, what has that meant for you? How has it helped in your walk with Jesus?
Hello, everybody. I'll first say I was actually nervous to join a group. That was actually, I was kind of hesitant. And then also when I found out who I was with, I was like, oh no, you know. So
I was so
uncomfortable. But honestly, I have to say, like, spending that time getting to know her on the level besides being here in the front of the church for everybody has been really nice. It's been really nice. And having Ariam as my partner, because, you know, she's younger than me, and watching her growth has been pretty awesome to see as well. So, you know, I'm almost 40, you know, just to put mine out there. But, like, it's nice that we're a mix of ages and a mix of experiences, and I'm learning from each of them. It's been pretty cool. One of the things that I've been working on, or we've been talking about in our group, is about prayer and praying. And I have been praying, in my job situation, about having a sub when I go on parental leave, because I adopted my kids, I get 3 months off of work. And so it was a kind of like a stress, a little bit anxiety, like, who's going to take it? Somebody needs to pick up this. Come on. Somebody needs to take my kindergarten class, because it's stressful. And so I prayed about it by myself. I was doing my prayer by myself. But when I brought it to my group, you know, they pray for me. We pray for each other. And that was like on a Friday. We prayed, we met, and we talked about it. And literally while I was at church on Sunday, I got an email that someone had covered, and I have a substitute for my leave. And so it's like, oh my God, Lord, you answered that prayer so fast. So for me, it's really just having a better relationship with God and being more prayerful and being willing to be vulnerable with these ladies and share things that I probably may not regularly share, and knowing that it's a safe space.
Yeah, so. That's so good. Thank you so much. Give her a hand clap. And again, you see just the power of community and why it's so important, right? We need each other. We need to be walking with each other. And that's for all of us. Like, I understand life's busy. I get it. I'm busy. I got a lot going on. I do more than just here on Sundays for a little bit, just so you guys know. Some people are like, really? Pastors do work on other days of the week? Yeah. Yes. But we are called to this life of discipleship. And Jesus, although is not here in flesh, he's here in spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. And the call for disciple makers is today, and it's for you, and you have a decision to make. Are you going to say yes, or are you going to avoid it? Now listen, that's your choice, right? God's a loving God. He's not a condemning God, but also you will be accountable, because the Great Commission, again, is not the great suggestion. We will all stand before the Lord someday with the light on by yourself. We will be standing before the Lord on how we lived our life. How did we follow his commands? One of those commands being the Great Commission.
Yeah.
Not only how did we follow him, but how did we help others follow him? We will stand before Jesus on that. You will stand before Jesus on that. Mark 16:15, again, just as a reminder, it says, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Guys, we've been given a gift. We're walking around with this amazing thing, the gift of eternal life, forgiveness, hope, joy, love. We're walking around with it. And some of you are like this. You're like hiding it, you know. I don't want the world to know, or, you know, we are supposed to be giving that away. Like, I'm not an Oprah fan necessarily, but everyone should be getting eternal life, right? Like, you get up, right, you get, but it's true. It's all available. And sometimes it just takes somebody sharing the love of Jesus, the hope of Jesus, just being available, not being so stuck in our own life. We're so busy doing our own things, right, that we're standing in line and we realize the person behind us just needs a smile, or, hey, how are you doing today?
Right.
It's just that simple. It said, go and be my witnesses. Being, we can all be. Yeah. Right? Just be you, whatever that looks like. If you're quiet, be quiet. If you're loud and crazy, be loud and crazy. But just go and be his witnesses to the world that needs him. Amen? So the gospel isn't just to be preached, it's to be walked out by all of us, every single one of us. You don't have to be a pastor or work at a church to be a disciple maker.
Right.
Again, we're all called to that. We're all commanded to that. And again, it's not the great suggestion.
Right.
You just have to be willing to say yes. You have to be willing to walk up to someone and be vulnerable. How can I pray with you? You look like you're having a rough day.
Yeah.
Discipleship's not a program, right? Trust me, we've tried all the things. It's not a program. You can't go through 4 weeks and get a stamp certificate, let voila, now you're a follower of Jesus and the great disciple. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
Discipleship is a process, and it's a long one, and it's a one that we don't do perfectly. That's why we need people, because when we fall off the wagon, we show up at their house and we get them back on the wagon,
right?
We show up in prayer and we pray for them when they just can't go on. We hold up their hands. We tear off the roof if we need to, right? It's a way of life. I should say it's a way of love. It's the Jesus way. It's not easy, but it's powerful. So I have a challenge for you all today as we close, and whoever's just going to play a little something. We're almost done. Thank you, guys. You guys have been great. You guys doing all right?
Amen.
Woo! I know you like challenges, and I appreciate some of you that listened to last week's challenge by moving. So that's awesome. So here's another challenge for you, okay? First one is this. All right, and this is serious, all right? So you need to take a look at your heart. Take a look at how you're living. The question is, are you following Jesus as a disciple? Don't answer it out loud. Are you following Jesus as a disciple? Because if so, it'll be evident in your life by the fruit of the disciple. Again, remember the disciples, when they were called to follow Jesus, they left the world behind. They left everything. They dropped their nets, all security, everything that was their identity. They dropped it all and they went with him. Literally, wherever he went, city to city, town to town, wilderness to wilderness, and they followed him and they watched his life and they learned and they grew. Now they made a whole lot of mistakes and they weren't perfect like we aren't, right? And if you're watching The Chosen, you see the beautiful example of how Jesus lovingly walked with them. He lovingly walks with us because we're imperfect. We mess it up all the time. Guys, listen, you're not going to be a perfect disciple maker. If you're waiting until you're perfect, it's not going to happen because none of us are going to be perfect till we're in heaven. Now, of course, we need to have a right direction. We need to be in right relationship with Jesus, of course, to be walking with somebody. But we don't have to be perfect. You don't have to know all the answers. You just have to be a little bit ahead of the other person. Just a little bit. So are you following Jesus as a disciple? The next challenge is this. And this is for some of you in here that have known Jesus for a long time. I'm calling you out right now. In love, all right? Because if you're breathing, God's not done. And it doesn't matter what you've done before in ministry or I used to do this or that. That's fine if you're talking about serving, teach Sunday school, that's fine. But disciple making, that's not something we like hang up. Like, well, I did that at one point. Mm-hmm. No, we are called to be disciple makers as long as we're breathing. We should be walking with somebody else or two other people in a nice little triad group. So who are you walking with as a disciple maker? And if you're sitting here and you're going today, I got no one. Listen, this is not to make you feel bad, all right? It's to make you go, I got to change that. I got to be walking with some people. Who are you walking with as a disciple maker? And if you're not, reach out, because we've got people that need coaches. We got coaches that need people. We just need people to get involved one way or the other and say, you know what? I haven't done this before. I don't even know what we're doing, but I need to be involved. I need to be a disciple, or I need to be a disciple maker. That's for all of us. And the last thing is this, just to be thinking about, whose roof do you need to tear off to get them to Jesus? Who in your life? What family? What friend? What colleague? Whose roof do you need to tear off to get them to Jesus? As we talk about discipleship today, let's fight with faith. Let's fight with love. Let's fight with discipleship and community. Being together, standing with one another, holding up each other's arms when others are weak.